charge against God's elect because what? You belong to Christ. Believer, remember this. When Satan comes, and he will come, he comes as a defeated foe. When he comes with his attacks, his temptations, you, through the power of the Spirit, again, are fighting a defeated foe. He's on borrowed time. This is the already, but not yet. He is defeated. He's done. His time was pronounced a long time ago. And then it will come all to a culmination at the return of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 24. The context being the resurrection of the dead at Christ's return. Verse 24 says, then comes the end. He hands over the kingdom to the God and Father when he has abolished all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. And guess who has the power over death? Hebrews 2:14. That through death, he, Christ, might render powerless him who had the power over death, that is the devil. And Revelation 20:10 tells us that at the end, Satan will be thrown into the lake of fire and tormented day and night forever and ever. Amen. Saints, he and his kingdom have been rendered powerless against you by the God-man whose kingdom has come upon the world. John 12:32, I mentioned it earlier, it calls Satan the ruler of this world. But just as Jesus casted out demons from all who came to him, that text says that Satan will be cast out. Be cast out for good. That's good news. But I want to finish our time this morning with the warning that Jesus gives to the Pharisees. Verse 28 through 30. Truly I say to you, all sins shall be forgiven the sons of men, and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin, because they were saying he has an unclean spirit. As we look at this, first I want to answer the question, what is blasphemy? Blasphemy is profaning or desecrating the holy character and or the name of God. God is holy, meaning that he is set apart from his creation. He is completely unique in a category of his own. No one can be compared to him, not even the angels. As when you read in Isaiah, the angels have to cover themselves around his throne. No one is close to him. He is in a league all by himself. Therefore, we should not say anything that would profane the character or name of God. We should treat his name and character with a holy reverence. But how many times, we have to be careful with this, because you hear phrases a lot, and we say them sometimes. Phrases like OMG, or using the Lord's name in a flippant manner. Let's be careful. Let's be careful how we use the name of the Lord. Let's not blaspheme him. But the text says that this sin, as bad as blasphemy is and all other sins, they will be forgiven. But blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is an eternal sin and will what? Never be forgiven. That's scary. But what is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? And I want us to listen closely here. It is knowing that the work that Christ was and is doing. It is knowing that it is by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is knowing that without a doubt. And yet, you attribute that work to Satan. Again, it is knowing that the work that Christ is doing is by the power of the Holy Spirit, and yet you attribute that work to Satan. Here's what we have to understand about this text, about this sin. The Pharisees, they were learned men of the scriptures. They knew who Jesus was. They knew that he was healing by the Spirit of God. They knew that it was the Spirit of God that was behind the casting out of demons. How do we know this? Back to Matthew 12 and 28. He said, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom has come upon you. They knew that the kingdom of God was upon them in the person of Jesus Christ, but they did not want to admit it. Again, so even though, as I said earlier, they knew that Jesus casted out demons by the Spirit of God, they attributed it to the power of Satan. This is a hardness of heart that you can't make up. So the question that is likely on the minds of many this morning is, have I committed this sin, or am I in danger of committing this sin? And I can tell you a few things with absolute confidence. First off, if you are a believer, you should have zero fear, zero, of blaspheming the Holy Spirit. How do I know this? Philippians 1:6. For I am confident in this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. What Christ started, he will accomplish. Ephesians 1:13 and Ephesians 4:30. It tells us that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And Romans 8:35 reminds us that nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. In John 6:39, Jesus says that what? He will lose none that the Father has given him. So don't think for one second that Christ would fail, because that's what he will be doing. He will be failing. Christ does not fail. He will not fail and allow you to commit such a sin. Second, whether you are a believer or an unbeliever and you're concerned at all that you committed this sin, which is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, you haven't. If you're concerned that you committed it, then you have not committed it. You would not be concerned about it. You wouldn't care. This is a sin that's also not committed by mistake. Remember, it is knowing without a doubt who Christ is and still attributing that work to Satan. I'm not even convinced from the text that the Pharisees committed the sin. They do get the warning. They were extremely close. Extremely close. These men that were there, they might have committed it. But again, if you're concerned about it, you haven't done it. Again, it is knowing who Christ is and still attributing his works to Satan. But there still is a warning here. There's a warning. And I think it's best exemplified in the form of Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 8. It reads, for in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the power of the age to come. Now, before we continue, I want us to be clear. These people in Hebrews 6, they're not saved. These are not people who believed and then they lost their salvation. That is not what this is saying. I want us to notice the language. It says they were enlightened. They tasted. But the verse continues. It says, and then have fallen away. It is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucify to themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. For ground that drinks the rain, which often falls on it, and brings forth vegetation useful to those, for those whose sake it is also tilled, receives a blessing from God. But if it yields thorns and thistles, it is worthless and close to being cursed, and it ends up being burned. First off, I want to say that one reason I know for a fact that this is not saying that someone can lose their salvation is because this alludes back to the parable that we'll get to probably in a few weeks in Mark of the parable of the soils. For only those whose seed were on good ground, on good soil, those were the ones who were saved and bore fruit. There were four soils. One of them was what? Thorns and thistles. Some heard the word of God, and then it was snatched away in some form. And just like those who bring forth vegetation in Hebrews 6 because they were tilled on good ground, or just like those in Hebrews, and just like those in Hebrews who are burned up because they yield thorns and thistles, are like those in the parable in Mark who do not bear fruit because they were sown on thorns and thistles. Only those who are planted on good soil are saved and will bear fruit. So no, this is not teaching that one can lose their salvation, or John 6 and other scriptures as well would be lying. We know that scripture does not contradict itself. Christ will not lose any of his sheep, not one. But what I really want to get to is that Hebrews 6 is talking about someone who knows the word of God. They've sat under the preaching of the word. Maybe you grew up in church and heard the preaching of the word day in and day out in the home, in church. So children, those of you who are in here, please listen closely. You can hear that these are people who have probably heard the word. These may be even church members, those who attend regularly. You know the word, sat under his preaching, have been taught the ordinances of God, have seen and in some measure, by virtue of being around it, experienced the work of the Holy Spirit, and yet still refuse to bow the knee to Christ, just like the Pharisees. If that is you, there is a fearful expectation of the wrath of God that is to come. If that is you, listen to this. You are in more danger than an atheist that has never stepped foot in church. Call upon the name of the Lord while he still may be found. There is a reason. There's a reason the scriptures say that today is a day of salvation. Don't let your heart continue to be hardened. Harden not your heart. Today, not tomorrow, is a day of salvation. If you are here and you do not profess to know Christ, I plead the same to you as well. Get to know him. Repent of your sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Now, the last thing I want to say about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is notice in the text in Mark, it does not say that anyone who repents and ask for forgiveness will never be forgiven. If someone has ever committed this sin, what? They would not ask for forgiveness. They wouldn't do it. And I know for a fact that anyone who has ever come to Christ in repentance and faith, every last one of them has been forgiven. God has never turned away a repentant sinner. He never will. His mercy knows no bound. Our sin is great. His mercy is more. A final encouragement to the believer before we take the Lord's Supper. Remember this, that the same power that was working in Jesus, they accused him of having an unclean spirit, accused him of having a power that was of Satan. He did have a spirit. He did have a power. But it wasn't Satan. It was the Holy Spirit. That same power that healed the sick, that same power that raised the dead and raised Jesus from the dead, is the same power that works within you. So don't tell me you don't have the power to fight against sin when Satan comes to tempt you. Don't tell me you can't walk in the Spirit so that you won't gratify the lust of the flesh. No, if you have the Spirit, you will also walk in step with the Spirit. The two are inseparable. So what do you do? What do you do? By the power of the Spirit, do what? Put to death the deeds of the body and walk in conformity to Christ. Well, how do I do that? Open up your Bibles, read them in the power of the Spirit. Get on your knees, pray in the power of the Spirit. Evangelize in the power of the Spirit. Fellowship with the saints in the power of the Spirit. Sit under the preaching of God's word that is brought forth in the power of the Spirit, and then meditate on it throughout the week. Husbands, love your wives in the power of the Spirit. I don't know how to do that. Well, get in the word and learn and do it by the power of the Spirit. Wives, submit to your husbands, what? By the power of the Spirit. Children, if you're saved, obey your parents in the power of the Spirit. Older women, teach the younger women. Older men, teach the younger men. I don't know how to do that. Then get in the word and learn, and then do it by the power of the Spirit. Put on the whole armor of God with confidence, because your enemy is already defeated by the power of Christ's kingdom. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Again, I thank you for your Spirit. Lord, I pray that from this weak vessel that your word did not fall on deaf ears. And I know it didn't, because your word never turns void. Lord, I ask that your saints will be encouraged this morning, that they will be lifted up to walk in victory, because victory has already been had by you. Lord, again, I pray for those who are not in Christ, that they heard the word preached this morning, that your Spirit will fall upon them, that they will repent. And Lord, anyone here who has sat under, who has grown up in church, or whatever they may be, that has neglected coming to you in repentance and faith, that they would repent this morning as well. Lord, I pray all these things in the name of your Son. Amen. Now, all those who are helping with the elements this morning, if you would come forward.